Should we remove kidneys from a dying person before they're dead? That's the question addressed in the June 2012 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics, and that's the subject of this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org, practicalbioethics.org. Terry Rozelle is the Rosemary Flanagan Chair at the Center for Practical Bioethics, and he frequently speaks and writes about the ethics of organ transplants. Terry, I have to admit that the thought of removing organs before someone dies makes me squirm a little bit. How did you react to this article?
Well, I would say, first of all, that it makes you squirm because you are a committed deontological ethicist on this subject, where you are very rules-based, and it appears to you that Dr. Paul Morrissey's proposal that we'll discuss seems to violate a very heavy rule that most of us have held almost sacred, which is called the dead donor rule. In other words, we don't take organs from someone who is not dead, or at least we don't take organs from someone such that it will cause their death.
So let's talk about his proposal here in a little bit of detail. What is Dr. Morrissey suggesting?
He is suggesting a new, he calls it a new protocol. It's a variation of living donation of a kidney or kidneys. In this case, from someone who met criteria for irreversible massive brain damage, consent of the surrogates, decision for do not resuscitate and withdrawing of life supports, and that doing so would not cause the death, but that the patient would be determined to die relatively soon anyway of the trauma to the brain.
So that sounds good, I guess, in
sounds
theory.
Good in that it meets a utilitarian end of being able to get more kidneys to people who need them and save lives.
So what about those who may say there are problems with this? What would they be saying?
Well, this was published in the American Journal of Bioethics in the June issue, so it's just come out. In that journal, as we know, there are open peer commentaries. There are responses to that are published along with the lead article. And so most of what I have in terms of response is reading the open peer commentaries that were also published, six of them, I believe. And they range from this is a really bad proposal. One set of writers, Wharton, Rohde, and Verheide, say that it the Morrissey proposal violates the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm and violates the public trust in professional obligations to serve patients' best interests. Another commentator says that the proposal to procure both kidneys rather than just one, which some writers would go along with if it was just one kidney like regular living donation, maybe it'd be okay. But to procure both kidneys, which is what Dr. Morrissey says would be permissible under this protocol, that would be ethically untenable, says Wynne Morrison at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Other responders are actually rather positive about this. Some even say it doesn't go far enough, that by limiting the proposal to recovering only kidneys, which is all that Dr. Morrissey is saying would be ethically permissible on his proposal. Others are saying, no, why not livers, hearts, lungs, People are dying for lack of those organs too. And then they make a case for doing that. Morrissey does not.
It would seem to me that we're still struggling with the idea of how we define death. Is it the brain function ceasing, or is it cardiac death? Are we still struggling with that a little bit?
Dr. Morrissey says that some surveys, and he cites surveys, that indicate most Americans still do not believe that brain death is truly death. And in fact, two of the commentators, Miller and Truog, have published that opinion before, and again in this publication.
Sure.
They say it's not, brain death is not really death anyway. There's all sorts of body function going on, so that we're just winking at the dead donor rule in brain death criteria. Others are taking on another sort of protocol that we've called DCD, or donation after cardiac death, or more recently donation after circulatory death, because as some of the commentators note, even by declaring circulatory death, there have been instances where an infant's heart, for example, have been recovered and then transplanted. So is that really cardiac death? Well, let's say circulatory death. Yes, the arguments and the controversy goes on in regard to brain death, in regard to donation after circulatory death. This is entering into that fray in a slightly different way and very interesting, creative way, and it has elicited, at least in the open peer commentaries, a significant variety of responses, from positive, you don't go far enough, to absolutely not, this is a violation of ethics.
Where do you fit into the spectrum?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. Where I fit is as an ethicist, I am looking at this and saying, so what's going on? And what's going on here is a classic battle between rules-based people and ends-based people. Those who are committed to the rule of never engage in organ recovery before death or in a way that would lead to death are probably going to say, absolutely not. This makes me squeamish or
nauseated. I used the word squirm at the beginning.
Squirm.
And you used ethical terms with me. I don't know if they apply, but I'm a layperson, so I'm trying to look at this as a layperson, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Because of that rule, we don't want doctors to engage in activities that kill people. So we have rules against that, as well we should. I believe in rules that are good rules. But there's another part of me and you too, I assume, and many of us that looks at, let's say, especially kidney transplantation for the good that it does. And we look at a list and a growing list of people who could potentially benefit from transplantation of a kidney, and there is a severe shortage of available kidneys to transplant. And we say, what can we do to change that? And where am I? I look at Dr. Morrissey's proposal and say, could this help a number of people who might benefit from receiving a kidney that otherwise would not be available? That would be good. A part of me squirms, says, is this a violation of that very heavy rule that also is important for a variety of reasons, including the public trust? And there's a part of me that says, I'm not quite sure. I do have to think some more about Dr. Morrissey's claim, which may be accurate, which is, he says there's at least two interpretations of the dead donor rule. One is that we ought not to engage in removal of organs that will lead to death. The other is we ought not to remove organs from someone who is not a otherwise viable living donor. We ought not to remove them until there is a declaration of death. Those are two different interpretations of the same rule. He goes with the first interpretation, which is that we ought not to engage in the removal of organs that would be the cause of death. And he says his proposal would not cause death. Why? Because the criteria for becoming a donor by this means is that the trauma to the brain is severe, massive, irreversible, and the doctor's prediction is that death will occur regardless in a very short time. Removal of even both kidneys would not necessarily mean that any of us would die within a short time, unless we had some other severe injury, a head injury that would be the cause. And so that is a very interesting, credible argument. One could remove both kidneys and, at the very least, start dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be very likely in this group of patients.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, every one of them is going to die within 24 hours or a few days at the very most, and not of kidney failure. Their kidneys are gone, and not for lack of kidney function. I think that's probably a very credible argument. If it is, and one goes with that interpretation of the dead donor rule, then those of us who are rules-based in our orientation still could go with our ends-based inclinations of saving other lives.
You know, the bottom line for me as this layperson, squirmy, rules-based person is that there are a couple of questions.
And there are a lot of clinical yeah. people who are also very rules-based and squirmish about that one.
Well, but it just seems like there's a couple of questions. Do we know enough about this? And then the second question, are we good enough to do it right? And it seems to me that those are questions that aren't answered yet.
Paul Morrissey asked that question mostly in regard to the now mostly accepted DCD protocol, mm-hmm. donation after circulatory death, saying that that one is complicated and it leads to too many failures, where 20 to 30% of identified potential donors actually don't die within the 60 minutes, maybe 90 minutes in some protocols. They don't go asystole, the flat line, in time to be able to be viable donors, and that causes problems. We're not good enough there at predicting, and in fact, I have seen that as a problem. I have been consulted as a clinical ethics consultant. One time I remember by a social worker who had been involved in that kind of a situation. The family was really wanting this to eventuate in donation, to bring something good out of a tragic death otherwise. And then they waited and waited for the flat line on the monitor, and it didn't happen in time. And they were devastated. And the social worker then was devastated and was saying she was not sure about DCD protocol anymore because it seemed not to go well. Well, Dr. Morrissey is correct. It doesn't go well too often. Most often it does, but too often it doesn't. So that's a problem. This is actually a simpler protocol that Morrissey is proposing. We might actually do this one better, and he says it might double the number of organs available relative to the DCD protocol. How many that is exactly, I haven't calculated, and he doesn't calculate either as an estimate, but it would be significant, and surely would be significant to the one person who gets a kidney who otherwise wouldn't.
Terry Rozell is the Rosemary Flanagan Chair at the Center for Practical Bioethics. I'm Laurent LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.